Welcome to Finding Holiness, where we delve into timeless Torah wisdom, revealing the sacred in everyday moments. Join us on a journey to elevate your spirituality and discover holiness in every aspect of life. I'm your host, Rabbi David Kadosh, and together, let's embark on a path of spiritual exploration. I hope you enjoy this next episode.
Erev Tov, everyone. I noticed something in my Sidur here that caught my attention, but In the chapter of Tehillim that we recite when we say Tachanunim, Le David Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa, in the Pasuk there, it's Aleph Bet, right? So the Pasuk Tet is Tov V'yashar Adonai, Alken Yorech Hatayim Badarech. Hashem is good and upright, and therefore He leads Hatayim Badarech. So in my Sidur, it writes here, Hatet Bedagesh Hazak. There's a dagesh in that tet. Hatayim, you have to stress the tet. Why is that? Because if you don't stress the tet, it has a different meaning. When you have a tet with the dagesh, it's in reference to the sinners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading the sinners. Rashi says, Al derech teshuvah. Badarech on the derech of teshuvah. That's why he's good. That's why he's good and he's upright. If you don't put the tet, then it means chataim as our sins. And if you don't have the dagesh, so you have to stress the tet with the dagesh. The same word is in the first pasuk of Tehillim. Uvderech chataim lo amad. There, the chataim is not a derech of sins; it's a derech of sinners. And that's why you have to stress the tet. Every dot is important in our liturgy, and certainly here is no difference. Okay, back to Hilchot Lashon Hara, which is also Derech Hatayim without a dot, with a dot. Derech Hatayim with a dot. The Derech of sinners, it's certainly sins. I'll put that aside here. So the Chafetz Chaim goes in a little Haggah here over here. We already stated that a person's reputation cannot be diminished in our eyes just based on the lashon hara that a person heard. And they have to extend benefits and not treat him as a rasha. And he's now going to say that this even applies if the person being spoke about already had his reputation somewhat tarnished. He says, "Velo mi ba'e," it need not be said in this law that we disregard the lashon hara and continue to extend Kapsechut, but it applies hecha de belav halishna bishna when without the lashon hara hu kishan anashim Israel. So if he is compared to any Jew, there's no reason to think otherwise. Then for sure, this is what I'm speaking about. El afilu im belav hachi, even without this report, gam ken itchazek pa'il adam rashal yedei ma'asav rabim. This guy might have a reputation, a tarnished reputation of being a rasha, and then we still don't accept. That's the chidush. Meaning, if the guy's a regular guy, it's not a chidush to not accept what's being said about him. But even if the guy already has a reputation of being a sketchy type of guy, you don't accept the lashon hara and treat him as a rasha. Ach she'al yadam lo yatzah adayin legamrei mikal shar anashim Yisrael. This is assuming that he hasn't been completely removed from all other people in Klal Yisrael, kegon la'ashiv lo aveda, such as returning his lost objects, uktel iten lo tzedakah, giving him charity, or lifdoto, redeeming him, v'kayotze baze, or similar. V'ata nishma alav od me'anashim she'atza legamrei mikal amitecha. And now we hear people saying lashon hara that this person has completely excluded himself from amitecha, your nation. For example, he's sinning flagrantly. Kegon deshavi ketera ve'achid isura. He's eating forbidden non-kosher food. Keman shelo nitpared divrei bevedin. Since the report that's being said about them has not been verified. Rak shamru anashim bederech sipur be'alma. People are just saying it conversationally. Ene kabed divrei lemet. One may not accept their words as fact. Kedei limnoa et atzmo yedezeh mipidyono im nishba b'kayotze baze, and thereby excuse himself from the obligation of redeeming this person. This guy was taken captive. You wouldn't take him captive? Of course you should take him captive. Because only when he's excluded himself from the Am, would he maybe fall into this category? Okay, that was a guy that he, the Haggad that he had on that last halakha that we couldn't have time to finish.
You mean redeem him? You said take him captive.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Yeah, redeem him from taking captive. I'm sorry. Halakha Yud Aleph. Ve'yesh harbe dvarim shenichshalin bo ha'olam be'inyan lahush. There are many ways that people stumble with regard to suspecting information that might be true. And therefore, we should talk about this. But this is not the place to elaborate. I will write about this in the final klal. But know this rule. When the rabbi said that Levi should be concerned about the possibility that Lashon Hara, he heard about Shimon is true. That's only to protect himself from being harmed by Shimon. But God forbid, Levi cannot do any action against Shimon. Or cause Shimon any damage or embarrassment because of this report. Gadol or katan, major or minor. And this applies even if the Lashon Hara against Shimon emerged through a witness who testified against him in Bedin. Levi can't cause harm to Shimon based on a single witness. And further, even for Levi to harbor hatred towards Shimon, asur gam ken min haTorah, is also forbidden. And certainly cannot use Lashon Hara as a justification for this hatred, from his obligation vis-a-vis Shimon. There we go. So he brings a scenario here at the bottom. While checking the references of a potential tenant, someone tells you that he previously fell far behind in his rent. This is important information for you to know, and you are permitted to suspect that it might be true. Okay, fine. So says the Chafetz Chaim. Here's a common example of people acting unlawfully based on accepting Lashon Hara. Let's demonstrate one detail of this halakha, he writes. Many people stumble. Kegon, for instance. Yesh ba'ir anashim shemuchzakim la'anim. There are a lot of people in the city who were presumed to be poor and needy and require sustenance and support. And the residents are obligated to give them charity, as of course the halakha of tzedakah states that you have to give after your family, you have to give the residents of your city first. Now, someone slandered these people by saying, they're not really poor. You think they're walking around thinking they are asking for money, but in reality they're not poor. They're pretending to be poor in order to deceive the people. As a result of this report, people stopped giving their stipend that they had regularly given in the past. Now, according to the Torah, this reaction is a grave sin. Because this is included in accepting Lashon Hara. If he would have behaved according to the way the Torah wants us to behave, which demands that he may not believe Lashon Hara, he can only suspect that it to be true. He will not, at this point, excuse himself from giving the tzedakah to this poor guy. Despite the Lashon Hara, this man still remains, his status remains unchanged. Since he has been established as a poor man for charity, as long as there's no hard evidence to prove contrary, the people of the city still are required to support him. Ugdola mize amru, Chachamim go so far to say that the Gemara Baba Batra, hare sheba ve'amar parnesuni. If a person comes to us and says, Parnesuni, give me parnasa, give me charity, sustenance. And botkinahara. We do not examine his background. We give him food. In other words, all these guys that come to collect with have their paper. You don't check that paper. The guy comes to you and says, I need money, right? You give him. Certainly in this case, the person's already been established. People have already checked into him. People know. So now his status is going to go in doubt because of this guy's lashon hara that he said the slander about him. Of course not. We have to keep on giving. The approach, the correct approach, is just to be cautious, suspect, and investigate it afterwards. Okay, I heard this rumbling. Let me go check out to see indeed what this guy is saying. As certain as this has not been verified, the residents are not allowed to excuse themselves from the obligation of giving tzedakah. Regarding this and similar situations, amru rabotenu al pasuk. The pasuk, they expound on the pasuk. Al tigzal dal kidalhu. It's a pasuk in Mishle. Do not steal from a needy person because he is poor. What does this mean? What do the chachamim say this means? Shekae al haragil iten tzedakah leani echad. It's referring to someone who regularly gives charity to a certain person. Uposek ve'eno noten lo. And then because he heard lashon hara, he stops giving him this regular donation. That guy, nikra avur ze gozel hadal. He is considered to have stolen from the poor person. And therefore, you can't just stop giving because some guy said, and our Yetzer Hara tells us that it's fine. Our Yetzer Hara, you hear rumbling about a certain guy that might not be so honest or genuine or truthful, and all of a sudden we say, I'm not giving this guy anymore. But did you even look into it? Why are you believing this guy's words? Right? This guy has been has a status of an ani for so many months or years, and you're going to pull that away. He might be requiring that. Yes?
This lady gave $1 billion to the yeshiva.
Yes, I heard that. I think the money was going towards a medical school specifically.
The Yeshiva University doesn't own this school anymore.
Yeah.
They don't own that school anymore.
What's that?
They don't own the school.
Okay, it's still a fantastic. I don't know. You should not stop giving money to Yeshiva University if you if that's something that is, if that's something close to your heart. You know, it is certainly a Torah institution and requires money to support their teachers and their rabbis and whatnot. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of big rabbanim that work there out of the kolo. Give your money to Yeshiva University, no question. Okay. Let's do one more halakha. We'll finish the klal and then we'll summarize. If someone violated this prohibition and already listened to Lashon Hara about Shimon, and believed it to be true, whether it's about his negative conduct between him and Hashem, ben Adam lachavero, or between him and his friend, tikuno, you know how to do teshuvah? He has to muster the strength to remove this from his heart and stop believing it. And resolved in the future, they will never accept lashon hara about any member of the Jewish nation. And he has to confess. And by doing so, he will rectify various negative and positive commandments that he transgressed, as enumerated in the opening section, as long as he hasn't said it over to other people. There is a scenario here. A neighbor shares her unsavory assessment of your friend's hidden personality flaw. You believe your neighbor's evaluation and distance yourself from your friend for a period of time. Eventually, you realize that your neighbor's report is lashon hara, and you wish you had never heard that assessment of your friend. You can rectify the error by rooting out your negative thoughts about your friend, resolving to refrain from accepting lashon hara in the future, and verbally confessing the sin. Here is a summary of what we've done in Klal number 6. Number 1, it's forbidden to listen to Lashon Hara even without intending to believe it. Number 2, it's forbidden to believe Lashon Hara. If a listener demonstrates that he agrees with the Lashon Hara, he is guilty of both speaking and listening to Lashon Hara. 3, if a listener knew of an event that could be construed positively or negatively, and the speaker is now interpreting it negatively, the listener is guilty of accepting Lashon Hara by listening to the negative interpretation. 4, if Lashon Hara is spoken in someone's presence, he must A, try to stop the conversation by reprimanding the speaker, B, walk away or place fingers in his ear, C, resolve not to believe Lashon Hara, not to derive pleasure from it, and not to show any signs of agreement. If possible, he should show displeasure. 5, the above applies only if, when he joined the conversation, Lashon Hara had not yet started, and there were no grounds to suspect it would ensue. If it had started, and he joined the conversation nonetheless, he's in violation of listening to Lashon Hara. Number 6, if someone is approached by his fellow who wishes to tell him negative information, he should immediately ask whether the information is relevant to him. Number 7, if while taking part in a conversation it seems that the topic is about to turn towards Lashon Hara, he may continue to listen if A, he believes the topic pertains to protecting his own or someone else's rights or well-being. B, if he intends on reproving the subject for his wrongdoing. C, he plans to calm the speaker down either by justifying the subject's actions or simply by hearing him out so he will not continue to speak Lashon Hara to others. 8, although one may listen to negative information under these circumstances, he may not believe the information as fact. He may merely suspect that it might be fact for the sake of effecting to'ilet. He is still obligated to extend to the subject any kindness that Torah obligates, such as charity or a loan. He may not harm him in any way. Number 9, it is forbidden to accept Lashon Hara as fact or to consider the subject of Lashon Hara as anything less than a proper Jew, even if the report was heard from a single witness in Bet Din or two witnesses outside Bet Din. And lastly, number 10, one repents for the sin of Lashon Hara, of listening to Lashon Hara by A, stopping to believe what he heard, B, accepting upon himself not to listen to Lashon Hara again, and C, confessing his transgression. He need not ask forgiveness from the one about whom the Lashon Hara was spoken if no harm was resulted. Okay, we'll stop here.